You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is up, everyone? Jose Young here with MMAfighting.com for an impromptu episode of the A-Side Live Chat. Sitting next to me is Alex K. Lee, my brother from the north in Toronto. Now, Alex, this is a very last-minute episode. Like I said, I called you very last-minute because we got some very last-minute breaking news, and that is Ben Askren has announced his retirement from mixed martial arts. He was on Ariel Helwani's show over on ESPN, and he officially hung up his four-ounce glove. So I will put you on the spot. What is your immediate reaction after hearing the news? What are you expecting from one Mr. Ben Askren going forward?
Well, based on the comments he made and his results in the UFC so far, I would say unsurprised. The time is probably right. If anything, I respect that he's leaving when there's probably still money to be made. And I actually, even though we're talking hashtag MMA retirements, I actually think this is one that will stick. For anyone who missed the Helwani show announcement, he needs a hip replacement. Mm-hmm. That's probably it for you as a high level MMA fighter. And he's 35 years old. He's been involved in some form of combat sports since he was very, very young. So there's so much wear and tear on his body. So yeah, unsurprising. And I would also call it a welcome retirement. And that's I say that with respect to Ben Askren.
Yeah, for anyone who's followed Ben Askren's career or watched any interviews lately, he's made it known that mixed martial arts was never his one true love. He really loves the world of like amateur wrestling, collegiate wrestling, and he coaches a lot. He coaches kids, he coaches fighters, he coaches Tyron Woodley, he coaches Macy Barber. He wasn't there for her last fight, but she made sure to give him a shout out. But Ben Askren retires with a record, I believe, of 18-2, or 19-2. His last two losses were the only two losses he ever had. He lost to Jorge Masvidal, which everyone has heard or seen now, especially on Instagram, in 5 seconds, fastest knockout in UFC history. And then he gets submitted by Damian Maia. So getting knocked out by Jorge Masvidal and getting submitted by Damian Maia, nothing to hang your head down. I mean, Damian Maia is arguably the greatest grappler in UFC history, and Jorge Masvidal is the hottest fighter on the roster right now. But bearing those two losses aside, what is going to be your lasting memory from Ben Askren, either inside the octagon, outside the octagon, any of the other plethora of promotions he's fought under?
Man, this is a guy for the most part, did things his way. And you just got to respect that. I know it's a cliche, but you certainly can't say it about every fighter. And I would say it about Ben Askren, he's an original. I'm not the biggest collegiate wrestling fan, but I know, look, he was nicknamed Funky because his style was unorthodox. So from his earliest super successful NCAA championship days, he's had people kind of questioning how he goes about things. So, he answered those questions in college and then he gets into MMA. And yes, he's very one-dimensional, but super successful right out of the gate. Bellator picks him up. He becomes a champion. He beats names like Douglas Lima, Andre Koreshkov. People can say, oh, this was before they became, before their primes. Say what you want. We won't know because they never had a rematch. Those are wins on Ben Askren's record. He did it his way, and instead of going to the UFC after, he went to one championship. There's the spat with Dana White. Dana White very publicly saying like, oh, I'd rather watch grass grow. I think it was in reference to Ben Askren. Some Dana Whitey thing like that, really, really questioning whether Askren was entertaining enough to be in the UFC. So Askren went, did his thing, fought and won. And then he made his way to the UFC anyway. And in this last year, made plenty of headlines, drew plenty of eyeballs, and in pro wrestling parlance, put over some people major, especially Jorge Masvidal. I mean, that the Jorge Masvidal thing doesn't happen without this Askren feud and Askren running into his knee.
I mean, people have been saying, like, ever since he lost to Damian Maia in the UFC Singapore main event, they've really been, because remember, Ben Askren was traded for Demetrius Johnson. I think that's going to be one of his lasting legacies too. He was part of the first real trade between promotions. Demetrius Johnson left the UFC in exchange for Ben Askren. Ben Askren said he wanted to test himself against the best. In my mind, what stands out the most is not his inside the cage or octagon, but it's one he said, like, I might not be the best, like, I might not retire undefeated, but I at least want to try. I want to compete against the best. So he never walked around declaring himself like, I am the greatest, I am the greatest, I am the greatest. He wanted to try, and he came to the UFC, didn't work out, and he said, and he lost to Jorge Masvidal in 5 seconds, handled his loss better than most fighters would a decision loss. I mean, he tweeted right away. He's like, well, that didn't go as planned. And then I think Heather Hardy tweeted, like, everyone needs to stop picking on Ben Askren, this and that. And Ben Askren's like, I deserve it. Don't worry about it. So the way Ben Askren handles defeat, I think a lot of young fighters can really take from. I mean, he said, like, I don't want to be like Ronda Rousey. It happened. The only thing we learned in that fight is Jorge Masvidal has a great knee, and I'm not invincible. I can't, like, that right there just shows you what kind of a fighter Ben Askren is. Like, he loses to the best, and he owns up to it. Loses to Damian Maia, and in his interview backstage on ESPN, he goes, I just lost to the greatest submission artist, arguably, in the history of mixed martial arts. So, handles his losses very well. Was very dominant. I think people forget, like, he set a record against Andreas Korshkov, where he outstruck him, like, 200-something to, like, 5 in that fight.
Yeah, he finished him. And he finished him.
Finished him. Beat Douglas Lima, who is it's either 1A, 1B for Patricio Pitbull for greatest fighter in Bellator history. Has the win over Gishin Aoki. Has a W over Robbie Lawler. Say what you want about that fight. A W is a W. And then he just loses to two guys and calls it a career. So I wish fans that really started to watch MMA in the last few years, like when the Rondas and the Connors and everyone's rose, I wish they got to see him in his prime when he was tearing, not even tearing through people, just like dominating. Like, if you can't get you can't get a grown man off top of you, you shouldn't be champion. That's my mentality anyway. But go ahead.
I don't want to romanticize his style too much. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, pre-UFC Ben Askren was like this Shogun-esque berserker.
He was not.
No, he was winning fights. He was not. He was winning fights. I'm glad we did this, because I did want to bring up one personal anecdote. I was in a glamorous Windsor, Ontario, when he fought Douglas Lima.
Wow.
Great crowd. Yes, great crowd. The card, unfortunately, was not very good. And it was capped off by this Askren fight where, look, he held Lima down, and it's not Askren's fault. Lima couldn't get up. The crowd became so aggravated. I believe there was, during this 25-minute fight, there was 2 fights in the crowd. So and those were maybe the most entertaining fights of the night. So regardless, Askren gets a reaction out of people. Sometimes it wasn't good. Sometimes his style it literally incited violence in those watching. But again, we can't discount that he was a winner at the end of the day. And then regardless of his style, managed to be an entertaining personality outside of the cage. And that goes a long way. Chael Sonnen can tell you that. Chael Sonnen, you know, he had exciting fights later, but was known as very much a grindy wrestler. George St. Pierre, one of the most famous fighters of all time. A lot of critics of his style, but certainly a popular guy. So Askren is somewhere in that lineage, that entertaining wrestler lineage. And certainly the sport is a little bit worse off for his personality not being around.
I mean, his fights, you saw them yourself. When I was there on site for UFC 239 for his fight against Jorge Masvidal, if you look at the numbers, like, John Jones is in the main event. Amanda Nunes is in the co-main event. Holly Holm is there. Luke Rockhold. Like, young Edmund Shabazian was on that card. Who do you think did the most numbers in terms of traffic and YouTube views?
Mr. Funky.
Mr. Funky, Ben Askren. Had a Walmart sponsorship during that fight, too. So it just goes to show you that people, when he spoke, people listened. I remember vividly that first press conference where they introduced him to the UFC before his fight against Robbie Lawler. He was all up on stage with all the fighters, and he was going at everyone. Like, he was talking to Kevin Lee, who was coming up from welterweight. He's talking to Kamaru Usman. He's calling out Colby Covington. He's calling out everybody. And then he goes and he quote unquote submits Robbie Lawler. I don't, like, a win is a win, like I said. Robbie Lawler handled his loss well too. And then flies immediately. He goes, I'm gonna beat Robbie Lawler, and then I'm gonna fight the winner of Darren Till, Jorge Masvidal, and then I'm gonna fight for the championship. This is a guy that, when he said it, normally came true. He didn't end up beating Jorge Masvidal, but you have to assume if he had, he most certainly would have been fighting for a title right away, I think, especially if he had dominated Jorge Masvidal like that. But if that fight doesn't happen, we don't get a BMF championship of the world. We don't get Jorge Masvidal being the biggest star in the UFC right now. So yes, in terms of wins and losses, one championship clearly came out the better in that trade. But again, I think you said it perfectly. Without Ben Askren, there is no what, the last 15 months, 12 months of the UFC has been wildly exciting. I think Ben Askren had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, you look, you need the Ben Askrens of the world, guys like him, to either become stars or to build other stars. And I'm not saying the UFC has a control over which one happens, whether the fighter they sign becomes star or they build another star. But in this case, it certainly worked out in building another star. And I've joked online about, you know, how bad the trade looks. But it's true. UFC got everything, pretty much everything they wanted out of it. I guarantee they have pretty much zero regrets about making that trade. So, you know, everyone should be happy. And I hope that Ben Askren finds happiness, you know, in whatever, moving on to wrestling coaching and just being done with this this nasty business of fighting.
And I will say, everyone's going to question, like, was he a good fighter? Was he a great fighter? Was he a world beater? Like, he was an excellent prize fighter. And that's what this game is about, is getting people to watch you fight. And that is exactly what Ben Askren did, just like Chael Sonnen. That was that whole argument. Chael Sonnen was a good, not great fighter. Chael Sonnen is a phenomenal prize fighter. Ben Askren is a phenomenal prize fighter. Like, yes, they might lose to people, but you're still watching that those fights happen. And you're paying to watch them lose, or you want to see them win. Regardless, everyone paid attention to Ben Askren. And I really think the world of mixed martial arts is going to miss him. I mean, I was backstage at UFC Milwaukee, which is the last ever Fox card. And he was the guest fighter. And I was speaking to some of the UFC PR. I'm like, what's it like been working with Ben after, like, he's a new fighter and he's already doing guest fighter spots? And they're all like, he's great. He'll do any interview. He'll do it for 10, 15 minutes. And then we were doing the scrum, which you've done a million of them, guest fighter scrums. It's going like 16 minutes. And then the UFC PR goes, all right, Ben, enough. He goes, I was having fun, guys. Come on. So it's like, he wants to do that. Like, how often do you get fighters that want to do media? You rarely get that any days. I mean, you see Robbie Lawler. He's like, I don't want to be here. Like, fighters, like, Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal show up 40 minutes late to media day. Ben Askren not only wants to do it, he'll talk to anybody and he'll talk to everybody. So as a media fan, as a media member, I'm going to miss Ben Askren.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, from our perspective, definitely an asset. From the UFC's perspective, an asset. And I think history, when people look back on his career, when we're out of this moment of, oh, he got knocked down in 5 seconds, he got submitted by Maya, I think history will look very favorably on what Ben Askren accomplished as a fighter.
And he's not going anywhere. He still coaches Tyron Woodley. I'm sure he still coaches the Pettis brothers. He coaches Macy Barber now. He coaches a lot of those guys up at Rufus Sport. So for his lasting legacy, I think I wish we had seen him fight the George St. Pierres, the Rory McDonalds of the world, the guys that he really wanted to fight at that time. I mean, I remember when, like, Carlos Condit was fighting George St. Pierre, Ben Askren was like, I'll fight the winner tomorrow. So, like, I wish we had got to see Ben Askren versus George St. Pierre. I would favor George St. Pierre very heavily. But there's always that question out there that Ben Askren called him out for so long and we never got that fight. But finally,
The fact that you're even talking about it tells you what a persona this guy created for himself before coming to the UFC, not being at the number one spot. You know, he built that reputation as, hey, what would happen if he fought George St. Pierre? That they were even asking as a credit to his promo abilities.
Well, I was going to ask you what your lasting legacy is, but I'll go first. My lasting legacy, in my mind, is that Ben Askren made a name for himself outside of the UFC. They say Dana White goes, go to one, like, World Series of Fighting. He said, forget that. I'll just go to one championship, make more money. So he is one of those rare fighters that had a following before he even got to the quote unquote big leagues, as fans call the UFC. Bellator at one championship. He comes over and is immediately inserted into not immediate title shot, but like in the top 10 range. And everyone wants to see Ben Askren talk or fight. And he hasn't even stepped inside the octagon yet. So I can't think of many other fighters. Maybe if, like I said, one of the Pitbull brothers or Douglas Lima, or like if MVP forever comes over to the UFC or anyone other from one championship. I'm sure there's going to be there's a lot of those fighters that, if they do, will have the same thing. But Ben Askren captivated audiences with his words. And then they brought those fans into the octagon. That is what I'm going to remember most about Askren. Alex, what is your lasting legacy for Ben Askren?
I mean, Jose, you pretty much summed it up. I don't know. You're making some great points. I don't know if it's the crystals, this new crystals thing, which I'm against, but you seem more lucid and focused than ever. It's very impressive. And I'll just add, you know, I hope that other fighters can sort of learn some stuff from Ben Askren. And again, like how he built himself up. It really isn't about your style in the cage. Like we've said many times, he was not the most exciting guy in the cage. You could probably count, like, if you took his top five fights, I mean, they don't stack up to a lot of other people's top five most exciting fights. That's just a fact. But there's a lot to learn from how he did what he did. And it's not easy. You know, not everyone has his personality, his background, his maybe some of the leverage he might have had that some fighters don't. But there's definitely things to be learned. And I hope the next generation of fighters kind of look at how he built himself up and you know, just take some things here and there. And it's not about being fake, but it is about having your own persona and trusting in it. And it can take you a long way.
Well said, Alex. And for Alex, this is Jose. This has been a very last minute impromptu quick episode of the A-Side Live Chat. Stick around on the YouTube page and this and that. We'll be back with an actual live full length hour episode of the A-Side Live Chat on Wednesday. I'm not going to tell you who the guest is yet. This will be up on like Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all that fun stuff. But for Alex, this is Jose. We're out.